Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome to New Life Live. You're on the show with me today, and Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to you guys. Jill, I think you've got some wisdom to share with us this morning.
Well, I at least have something to share. So I wanted to share about the idea of milestones. We all know that term. We know that they used to set a stone by the side of the road to mark distance, right? It also is the marking of time. It's a marking of a significant event in our lives. So I was thinking about milestones as I was attending a graduation ceremony over the weekend. And I was also thinking about how milestones and the distance and the time, how it isn't necessarily always a straight path in hitting some of the milestones in life. And I know we really value those because they do something for us, right? They let us know where we're at. But I have a friend whose daughter I've known since she was young, and it's been quite a journey of getting this kid through school with tutors and stops and starts. And even this week before the graduation, it was like, is she going to do it? Is it on? Is it off? Is it on? Is it off? And literally, it was almost till the day before. It's like, okay, everybody come. It's on. So we all went. And I appreciate this friend having an ADHD kid, and we've often commiserated. And she's also a single mom, and it's a challenge. And we all want, especially as a single parent, when your job is your kids, you're not even catering to a spouse.
Right.
We want them to get there, and there's something about, for us parents, if I can just get them over that finish line, it feels like something. It doesn't mean that there won't be more on the other side, but it feels like something. And so I think it's important to remember that life, I always say this, life is not a linear climb. It doesn't always look like we think it ought to or how we think other people think it ought to. Right? It's really a circling back around like a coil, and we come to the next rung, and we have to circle back around. I loved what the speaker said at the graduation, and she was drawing inspiration from Isaiah 62. And obviously this year there's a lot of talk about graduations. This is the original COVID class. And so she was talking about how God is going to change their names from isolated, struggling, and desolate to joyous, desirable, and overcoming. And in that moment, I just saw such joy on my friend's face, on her daughter's face, like, yay, she did it. And how important it is to celebrate those moments, those milestones, even if it's just for a moment. It doesn't mean there isn't going to be more struggle on either side of it. But even on a crooked path, our kids are eventually getting somewhere. And for us, too, those milestones are important. So pause, because so many times I see people, and it's like, okay, I've done that, now on to the next thing. No, pause and celebrate the milestone.
I love that, Jill, and so timely because of all these celebration of milestones that we've got going on right now with graduation, right? And, you know, once you reach that milestone, it's the next milestone and the next milestone, but we need to pause, right?
We need to stop.
In the Bible, Romans were allowed to have the Jews carry their armor for 1 mile, but then they had to stop and they weren't allowed to go further than that.
Yes.
And so it's so important for us to stop, reflect, see where we're at, see where we're going, but just appreciate and celebrate where we are. And we appreciate our listeners here, and we are going to be right back in a few minutes taking some calls. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Stephen Arterburn with a New Life Moment. In his lifetime, Vincent van Gogh sold only one painting. Today, he's known for his passion and artistic genius, and he's remembered as a lonely soul. In a letter to his beloved brother, Theo, Vincent wrote, "Our inward thoughts, do they ever show outwardly? There may be a great fire in our soul, and no one ever comes to warm himself at it. The passers-by see only a little bit of smoke coming through the chimney and pass on their way. Now, look you, what must be done? Must one tend that inward fire, have salt in oneself, wait patiently, yet with how much impatience for the hour when somebody will come and sit down near it, to stay there, maybe? Do you ever feel as if the fire in your soul will burn out before anyone notices? For some encouragement, visit newlife.com. I'm Steve Arterburn. Thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
Wow, so deep. Thanks, Steve. So much wisdom that Steve has. So glad he continues to get to share that with us on the radio here. We are going to go to our call board now. We are going to talk to Jack from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, who listens on KBXL. Jack, how can we help you today?
Yeah, I have a question. I have three sons, and I was married for 21 years. My wife had an affair after 7 years. We were our believers, and she moved in with a bartender and lived with him for about a year and decided to come home. And 21 years, not 21 years, several other affairs until she finally left and divorced me. The crux of my question is, when she came back, we went to marriage encounter, things seemed to be good, we were in church services, home Bible study, and being blindsided by two other affairs during that time kind of blew me away. But my question is, when she left me to divorce me, she told me, she says, "I'm going to make sure I do things right this time. I'm going to win." Mm-hmm. And she turned my three sons against me and filled their heads with a lot of untruths. And I don't know what those untruths are, except some feedback from common friends. But she never owned up to what she did with these affairs. Consequently, one son hasn't talked to me in 34 years. My youngest son has kind of been in and out, but the relationship, as he's in the last 20 years, we've not had a relationship. And my oldest son has been the one who tries to do everything right, but since I moved away out of state, he doesn't do anything to talk to me. And every time I reach out to the one that hasn't talked to me in 34 years, I get slammed with all kinds of abusive language and hate. And the others, according to my grandson, who I'm very close to, says, "They just ghost you, Grandpa. You should just walk away. They'll never change." So I don't know what to do. I mean, that's a long time, and I know the story of the prodigal son, and my heart just aches. And since then, their mother has passed away 5 years ago, so now she's a saint. And and I say that fictitiously. I don't know what to do other than to continue to pray, and I just wondered if you had any insight.
Yeah, wow. Difficult situation here, Jack. Thanks for calling. Jim, you wrote a book on doing life with your adult kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got a couple of things going, Jack. She did not do this right, and she was kind of mean-spirited, obviously. And, you know, I think you take this with baby steps. I would want to know why they've done this. And interesting enough, the son who's given you all the hate speech, you may have some insight on what on earth they're doing. But, you know, I could see you writing a note to them and just saying, "Hey, I love you like crazy. And it breaks my heart that we're not in relationship. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. But I would love to just step back in. Do you mind if I send you cards on your birthday to the grandkids, this and that?" And, you know, let them see that you have a desire to to be in the relationship. And then pray like crazy that there's a time when you can have an adult-to-adult relationship. You know, pretty much when you guys got a divorce, your kids were – I mean, they were somewhat already grown, but now they're adults. So you've changed the relationship from an adult to child to an adult to an adult. You're still dad. And so that adult to adult, you can have some, you know, some conversations, and really do it with class. You don't have to bury your wife under the table for this. But, you know, they may have some. Do you have any questions about our relationship? Is there anything you want to know? I'm more than open if you want. So don't tell them. Just say, do you have any questions? And so start that process back by taking some real small steps of showing love and concern and sadness for where it's at. That's how I would start. And you know what? It may work and it may not. So your grandson may be right that, you know, you're not going to get farther. However, don't give up, because I heard hurt in your heart and in your voice. And so you want to take that extra step. And, you know, miracles happen. And sometimes they happen after the other parent has passed. So, you know, you might have a shot and you may not go 3 for 3. You know, in baseball, if you can hit 3 for 3, that you're an all-star. Yeah. But I would start just with that, not trying to make yourself right, not going tit for tat, but just simply saying, let me share with you my heart.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not, I've wanted to write, and I've written all kinds of letters, and I don't send them because I don't feel a peace, but I feel like I got to get things off my chest and my heart. I have 4 grandchildren I've never met. One is an adult that lives in the same town I now live in. And, in my letters, I agree with you. I mean, I was not perfect. I was not, I was the father. I was strict. They all 3 are very successful career wise. I baptized all 3 of them. And I think to myself, they can't have forgotten this. They can't have forgotten what had happened earlier in their childhood. Now they're in their 50s and early 50s. And I think, wow, you know, the Lord, I pray that he will, you know, soften the heart of stone to a soft heart. But I just, yeah.
Well, the first letter, don't make it long. You know, it's really good to put it on writing. Some people express themselves better in writing than they do verbally, and you express yourself great verbally, but maybe in writing. But make it a short letter of simple love and you know, share with your heart. Then there may be a second letter where you could talk about, you know, some of the things like, you know, baptizing them and all that. But, you know, literally just sometimes pray for a breakthrough, and you know, you just used ask God to help soften their heart. And sometimes a letter of almost a love letter, it comes out of left field for them, and they may not know what to do with it, and it may actually cause them to listen and respond. And then, you know, now that some of your grandchildren are adults, you can go after them in terms, and again, same kind of thing, just show, you know, make sure that you're present, at least in writing or a card or, you know, a gift or whatever on their birthdays and things like that. And, you know, they don't have the depth of issues that your kids have. And so they may be open to it. And that's how you kind of, you know, help that next generation, keep your legacy going.
Well, I am extremely close to one of my grandsons.
Yeah.
He's the oldest. He's 20. I led him to the Lord at a time, and we're very, very close. And it really bothers my other 3 sons that we're so close. We talk 2 and 3 times a day, and we're 1,000 miles apart.
Jack,
seems to be a source of irritation to him too.
Okay, right. Well, I love that you do get to connect with at least one grandchild, because I'm so sad for you. This is a lifetime of brokenness and disconnect with your sons, and this is the tragedy of divorce, the gift that keeps on giving, and parents really being very selfish in how they approach. She really weaponized the kids against you, and I'm so sorry for that. I love Jim's idea. I'm glad you're doing some writing, because I think it's very therapeutic. But an added idea that I had in writing is that you don't want it to be about you and that you are trying to tell your story. And I think you did say that, Jim. I think to say it's been so many years and I'm concerned about you, right? That you really, at this point, understand that they don't want relationship with you, but that you have care about their healing and moving forward, and that they don't carry these issues and pass them on to their children. And so in that way, if you could be of any help in helping them sort it out, even if it means they need to yell and scream at you and tell you all the horrible things, you're willing to listen and to be there to help them move forward with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great advice. And Jack, yeah, you can have two of the better people in here. Jim wrote a book called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And Jill, you wrote a book, co-authored a book entitled Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. What might his kids be thinking? I'm curious about that.
Well, I think they've been, you know, spun a story, and, mm-hmm. and so they're hurt. In any divorce, there's always a good guy and a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I think of my own parents. My dad was definitely the bad guy. He did a lot wrong. But he did always tell me there's two sides to every story. And mm-hmm. and I remembered that. Even yeah. if you're the bad guy, you still have a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that oftentimes you see in families where they're really spinning on misinformation. Because again, mom wanted to look good in this case, and you know, then they're hurt, and hurt people, and they're hurting Jack, and that's a sad.
Yeah, that's the difficult thing about divorce is that it is so adversarial. It's about how much can I get and take away from you, or you know, it's a lot of hurt feelings.
I want to punish you,
right? Because it's how much do I deserve too? Mm-hmm. And exactly, it's very much win lose, and so it's hard to do an amicable divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Jack. We're going to send you Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And I love what you say here, Jim. There's a subtitle to it that says, keep your mouth shut and leave the welcome mat out. And that's exactly what we have to do here is just keep on offering a way back into relationship.
An invitation.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks for your call, Jack. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones here. We're going to go to Marty. Marty's calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm not sure where you're listening, Marty, but we're
it's
glad
Mary.
You're here. Oh, Mary, I'm sorry. you know, this is my eyes, and I'm reading the call
it's
board.
It's hard to read.
I must be getting old here.
It doesn't really matter.
How can we help you today? Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for your show. I just had a question concerning a particular doctor I was trying to see. I've struggled with depression my adult life pretty much, and I'm almost 70. And it seems to have gotten worse in the last 10 years from depression to bipolar, where I get somewhat psychotic and I've been hospitalized. And basically have had ECT treatment, which is shock treatment, several rounds, and currently doing maintenance ECT. And as a result, because I don't want to continue this, and I am a Christian, and I have been for, 45 years or whatever, and I prayed so much about it, but I don't want to continue these treatments, even though my husband, my unbelieving husband, insists that I do. So I have sought out some alternative things. And the doctor I saw wanted to work with neurofeedback therapy and light therapy, like red light or infrared therapy.
Mary, we're just rolling up on the break here, but we're going to come right back to you, okay? Hold on. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, you've heard us say that life recovery is for everyone, and on today's episode of Life Recovery Today, Steve shares some of these principles. If you missed that program on NRB TV this morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, you can watch it at liferecoverytoday.net. Right now, we're talking with Mary. Mary has been struggling with depression that has led to bipolar disorder, and she's tried some electro treatment, and she doesn't want to continue in that treatment. Mary, continue on here what you were sharing with us.
Okay. So anyway, I have sought out other treatments, and the doctor I'm currently seeing suggested neurofeedback therapy and or light therapy, which is not the regular light for sad, but the red light therapy. And he wants to do a brain mapping test on me. And all of these things are out of pocket. He doesn't do insurance. So I'm just wondering if these are legitimate therapies. I mean, I think he thinks they are, but are they legitimate therapies, or am I just, you know, do they just work because people think they'll work? And am I just chasing rainbows? If, you know, do I just need to keep with what I'm doing? I am a Christian. I have prayed a lot about it and asked other people to pray a lot about it. And currently, I'm just doing one thing, which is I have changed my diet as a result of various things I've read about how it can help mental illness. So I have done that, but I didn't know whether I should continue on with this particular psychologist, if this is something that's
so Mary may
work or not.
Mary, you've been through quite a lot, and I love that you are kind of a student of your own illness and really trying to figure out and discover what works. And we always say it's often not just one thing that's going to help. Often there are multiple things that do help. How many episode or how many rounds of ECT have you been through?
Probably at least four.
Okay.
And I'm currently on maintenance ECT.
Okay.
It could be as many as six or seven. I really am not sure.
Okay.
I generally have no recollection after I have it. So.
Of course. There is memory loss with that, but usually about after 2 years you get a portion of it back. After you've completed, you'll get most of it back. Four to six rounds, that's really not a lot. I've heard people having to do, you know, double, triple that to get the results.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is not doing it four to six times.
I understand.
I have had four to six times of doing it 8 to 12 times.
Oh, okay. Got you. Okay. So one of the things that's helpful with people with bipolar is the feedback of people around you. So I understand your husband isn't a believer, but what is he seeing and why does he feel strongly about you continuing in this? I would want that feedback. If you don't 100% trust his feedback, then I would ask friends or kids or people who know you well for their feedback, because that is one of the things with bipolar. It's hard sometimes to recognize oneself and how bad it gets and what the change is. Certainly,
his main feedback is, and the reason he wants me to continue with the ECT maintenance, which is every 6 weeks, you know, every 6 weeks I have one treatment, is because in the past, I have oftentimes ended up back in the hospital.
And so he's
scared.
And
then had to go back. So he's fearful that I will end up back in the hospital. And, I mean, I can understand that, but by the same token, I don't want to continue because I'm fearful that eventually it's going to cause dementia, you know. And I just
well,
think
that would be an
be
important thing. That would be an important thing to speak about with that doctor. In terms of trying different things, yes, it can get quite costly, but different people respond to different things. Some people will say, like, all of these things you've mentioned are legitimate. Some people really give them rave reviews, and other people say, oh, it didn't help that much. There's no way to know how you're going to respond without you trying it. And if in between these ECT treatments, and maybe you can just tell your husband, I'm just going to pause right now. That doesn't mean I won't ever go back because I know you're afraid. And reassure him that you're trying to be a stable person and you're trying to participate in that. So that trying some of these other things, let's see. Try one and let's see.
Yeah, he's not going to let me pause. That's not...
Okay.
It's something
well,
that
and
I'm
going
to have to do at the same time. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you're on your medication too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when we
I'm
come back,
on a mood stabilizer.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to hear from Jim, and maybe he can give you some advice on the relationship with your husband. This is a really complicated issue because it is hard when we're faced with these out-of-pocket expenses, and we're not sure how effective they're going to be. So I think it's a really good question, Mary. We're going to be right back here. Jim is going to give you some of his thoughts here just on the other side of this break. So hold on, and we'll talk to you in just a second here.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back. And we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. And so all your gifts that you give will be doubled. And you can give by going to newlife.com/donate or by texting matched to 28950 or by calling us here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And any gift that you give, donation of $100 or more, we're going to be sending you the just-released Every Woman's Bible, which Misty Otterburn helped edit. Right now, we've been talking with Mary. Mary's calling in. She's been struggling with depression, bipolar. She's seeking different treatments. Jim, what are your thoughts for Mary?
Well, Mary, what I love that you're doing is you're looking at the entire picture. I don't think we do that well enough. And I think sometimes when people are depressed and your depression has moved into kind of a bipolar, sometimes we just get focused on one thing or we don't have the energy a lot of times with depression to look at everything. So I think what you're doing is really, 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 really helpful. And I think Jill's right. You know, what's crazy, I was sitting with somebody not too long ago and they were talking about brain mapping. And the woman said, it changed my life. And another woman said, you know what? I tried that and it didn't do anything. So
exactly.
That's the hard thing. So you're putting out this money that's not with your insurance. And yet, you know, I'd still give it a try, to be honest. That's me. Jill and I were talking about it. I think we have the same personality. We'd go, we'll try anything. But you want to make sure that you're taking care of your well-being at this point. I'm thinking about your husband. So I'm going to go a little bit different way. I'm thinking about your husband and, you know, your husband's, you know, involved in this. I mean, that's a good thing. My suggestion would be that you, and we call it marriage counseling when it could be, we all have enough, all of us need marriage counseling. But, you know, in this, you may want to go to a counselor and talk through this process so you have a moderator and you have kind of somebody throwing in the right questions and helping you get what's on the table, helping him get what's on the table. That might really benefit. You know, if it's a conflict, you know, conflict is neither good nor bad. Conflict can be bad if we do it wrong. But if we're with a counselor, the counselor may lead you toward conflict, which actually draws you closer in intimacy, intimacy meaning connection. So, you know, that might be an idea to do with your husband to say, hey, you know, we've got these things on the table. Let's talk through it. It's very hard to do that just with the two of you. Sometimes I think a counselor can really help you, you know, make the breakthrough or get to a place that you can kind of agree to disagree on and be able to talk through both sides without it escalating. That's what I do. I would actually do both and in this one.
And I mean, I even thought about having him come in with me.
Yes.
To talk with this doctor.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be a great idea.
He's open to this. He is open to this. Yeah. And I even told him about the cost and everything. He was like, well, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, he's looked into it.
Oh.
And the therapies look like they might be good or they might not be good. You know, you get both sides when you look them up. And
encourage him.
Okay, yeah. I think we thought he was against it.
No.
Oh,
he's
good.
Not,
okay. Perfect.
And he would prefer I didn't do ECT both too, but he doesn't want me back in the hospital.
Yeah,
and maybe sitting down and letting your husband describe to you what this journey has been like for him, if you haven't done that.
Yeah,
and him allowing him to get in touch with his fear and his sadness.
Yeah,
but it does sound like he's willing to explore as long as you don't give up what he feels is working. I think that's a good compromise.
He sounds like he's on your team.
Yes.
And so if you're
going to
bring your top team member into those conversations, my wife, a couple of years ago, we talked about this out in front of a lot of people, but you know, she had breast cancer. We went to the City of Hope she wanted me at every meeting. And so, and we had actually a difference of opinion and it's her story, but we would talk to the doctors and then we'd walk out and we were always in sync. And so it was really a good thing because now we're talking to a medical doctor and we came out, you know, together. And it actually helped me as a husband. Then I could come alongside her and cheer her on because we had been together through this. So I think you're doing a good job. If he does want to be in there, bring him in.
My thing was, is this guy a quack?
Yeah.
Because he wants to do brain mapping and neurofeedback
No, that's not. There's
not
different
quackery.
There's different things that are quackery. That's not the case.
Okay.
Some people have been greatly helped by that.
Yeah, and these are just
because the doctor, although he is not a Christian, he is a devout Jew. Mm-hmm. So I think he's honest. He thinks these things work.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, and we want to go to somebody who's an expert in these things, you know. I don't think you know, sometimes the best person to help may not be somebody who's a Christian. It just maybe somebody who God has given the wisdom to. So, thanks for calling in.
Well, and let me just say, a lot of times things start out being called quackery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think of Dr. Amen.
Right.
When he was doing his brain spect imaging, he got such negative feedback, and years later, now it's mainstream. Absolutely.
I love that you're involving your husband because whenever, you know, somebody has an ongoing mental health condition like bipolar disorder, it affects all parties. It affects the spouse too. Mary, we're going to send you Every Woman's Bible. Thanks so much for calling in. And we are going to go back to the calls here. We are going to talk with Paula, who's calling us from Sacramento, California. She listens on KFIA. Paula, how can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. My grandkids are across the country from me, and I'm very close to my family. They're going through a lot of strain and stress with their youngest teenage daughter, and just trying to help her to make wise decisions. And they pulled the kids out of public school, which has been good. They've been enjoying homeschool. They've been relieved to be away from the pressures of the culture and the fighting that goes on at school. And anyway, so they pulled them out, and that's been good, but now the youngest one is getting badly influenced by her closest friends, and so mom and dad have said, let's minimize your time with them until you make better decisions. And he left for the night and took a bunch of pills. So anyway, they're just heartbroken. It's like they're trying so hard to lead them wisely, and then sometimes things worse happen than what they are trying to protect them from.
Yeah, that sounds.
So my question is, what would you recommend they do? To it's just. It's been really hard since, you know, this little girl was like, Grams, I'm God's girl, you know, when she was in elementary school. And now in junior high and high school, it's been so hard for our grand girls to be themselves.
How old is your granddaughter, Paula, the one who took the pills?
13.
And how's she doing right now? Is she okay? Is she in hospital?
He was, they took her to the hospital that night. She's home, but today she's hysterical and yelling. And so I had told my daughter, I said, you know, should I call her and try to talk to her? And she said, Mom, tonight maybe. Today she's just hysterical.
Jim, let's start with you. I know that you are president of Homeward, and you guys do a lot of parenting courses.
Yeah, so, you know, the fact is that she's learning how to cope with stress, and she's coping with stress in a really poor way. So hopefully her mom's right on it. Sounds like they are. They got her to the hospital, sounds like. And that's exactly what you want to do. They did it at that hospital. They did an assessment, and mom and dad will want to carry that through with counseling and getting all the right help and maybe even some medication. So there's going to be moments of, you know, being hysterical. So I think what your daughter is doing is really right, and that's what you do, and it's a hard thing for them, and you can be a support to your daughter, but I think you might be able to be a support to your granddaughter too. What I find is sometimes they need a safe, you know, relationship from far away from grandma, and so I love that you're going to call her, and you know, every call is not going to be great. She's 13. Okay, so it may not be where she just spills everything out and all of her pain, but you just, you know, I love you. I'm so proud that you're getting some help. You know, those kinds of things. You could be that safe person, and I truly think that sometimes long distance grandparenting is actually even safer because there's this amazing thing called FaceTime and the internet, and you can talk to her. You can text her. I was just thinking about you, honey, and I love you so much. That can help big time. I think you can be a part of the healing process.
That's good. Okay, running up against the break here, Paula, but when we come back, we're going to hear from Jill. Just want to remind the listeners that many ways that New Life can help you. We can help you with a book. We can help you find a counselor or a coach. We have several intensives that we run throughout the year. We have recovery groups that we can get you connected to, or even... like on the show here, free advice if you want to call into the program. So don't struggle alone. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, welcome back. And we've been talking with Paula. Paula's calling in about her granddaughter, who's 13 years old, going through some struggles here. Her parents have taken some of her privileges away from her friends. Jill, what would you offer?
Well, Paula, I love that you're a concerned grandma, and I love, Jim, what you were saying about Paula, you being a safe place for her and just to hear her. Don't try to correct her. Yeah. Don't try to like make it all better. Just ask her how she's feeling. Just listen. Okay. Yes, that's your most powerful position here. This is such a difficult age, and your kids are doing the right thing by jumping in and addressing it. But there is a balance to this. And at this age, friends are so important. And it's hard, though, when she's chosen friends that have a negative influence on her. But don't underestimate the fact that this girl is vulnerable and is seeking out these kinds of people. So instead of making the friends all bad, I would maybe hold more of a moderate position, maybe limit the time, but don't completely cut them out, and address what she's feeling. What draws her to these friends? Sometimes there's a group think. I know when kids sometimes start cutting, it'll be a whole group of them that will do that behavior. And there's a lot of, at this age, all or nothing thinking. And so really, this is a cry for help. And it's an opportunity for her parents and her to enter into a process of healing, not just, oh, we got over that, now everything's fine, we're going back to normal. No, they're going to have to expand their paradigm a bit to see, okay, I've got a kid that I'm now starting a journey with, and it could last all through her teens. Right. So we've got to, like, start planning that out and participating in help that's supportive of her and that isn't just punitive towards her.
Mm-hmm. And the teenage years are interesting because when you get there, the kids start to change. They start to go through some neural developments, and they become different than what they've been for largely the first decade of their lives. And their brain starts to get wired to explore. And that at that age, friends are just everything for them. But it's a normal part of development.
And you know, there's negative peer pressure, but there's also positive peer influence. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to make sure that her daughter has her in a youth group. Doesn't mean it's perfect. No youth group is ever perfect. But, you know, some kids who could influence her, and, you know, maybe sometimes this is the changing of friend groups. Your daughter can't force this, but the changing of friend groups can be really good because friends are the second most influence at age 13. First influence is parents still, and that's good, and grandparents. And then it goes to friends and peers. And so we're aware of that. Mm-hmm. I would use this line with her when you do talk to her. Honey, I love you so much, and I'm proud that you're getting help, because she's going to tell me about what's going on. And I'm proud that you're getting help, and you can call me morning, noon, or night anytime, and I'll just listen, or if you want input, I'll give you input, but I'm there for you. And when you say that to her, then she could go, oh, my gosh, you know, because her parents still have to discipline her, and her parents still have to make her do her homework, and her parents still have to tell her she has to eat or whatever it is. But you don't. And so, be that person that just is there for her. And again, you know, you may lose some sleep. She's on East Coast time, so, you know, may change your ever so often. But what a blessing for you to be there. Yeah, what a blessing for you to be there.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Paula. Go ahead.
It's been a complicated situation because of the youth group that the kids were really involved in. There's five girls, and they were really involved in a youth group. And one of the daughters has a mental issue called BPD. Mm. And because of it, she was asked not to come back, and it caused a lot of hurt. And so they're kind of tentative about the youth groups because
that's hard.
There was a lot of judgment.
No, that's hard, and you may have to find another youth group. And that's sad.
Or talk with the youth pastor.
Yeah, right.
Try to really understand.
Yeah, the youth pastor may not understand that.
Right. Kid was, yeah. Right.
Thanks for calling in, Paula. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids. I think that's going to be really helpful to open up these conversations. So for the last question of the day, I'm going to go to a question that was sent in. And many people, if you're not able to listen in or call in live, you can visit newlife.com/radio. And you can leave a voicemail or you can email a question. And this question is, what help is there for women in a sexless marriage who are struggling with the temptation to masturbate? Here's the background. My husband and I, married 30 years, have not had sex for 2 years. He's always withheld sex as a form of control throughout our marriage, but never this long. I've been struggling with the temptation to masturbate. This is a really hard and complicated question. Jill, what do you think?
This is hard because we want to save ourselves for our husband, just as it's talked about for men. You want to turn those desires toward your husband. You don't want to be self-sufficient and just taking care of your own needs. However, I think it's good to look at, okay, well, why am I thinking about this? Because certainly you can masturbate, and it isn't the worst thing ever, but what are you hoping for from that? Right? A lot of times it's just a physical release for stress. Mm-hmm. But I often talk to women who wrestle with this, and they turn to that, but then they feel incredibly lonely afterwards. Mm-hmm. And also, how do you do that and not lust and not sin?
Right.
So one, I know one person who says, I thank God that my body still works. Okay, so there's a multiple views on this, and there is no direct in Scripture, do not do this. But what it highlights is there's something that's a void, and that's the important thing here. They're having a sexless marriage for 2 years, and I've heard of people having it for 20 years. That is so sad to me. That's not how it should be. But it's really hard to engage when you don't feel safe. And if this husband, it looks like the term gaslighting was used, emotional abuse, deception, that's a hard thing to feel safe. And so dealing with the state of the relationship is where you've got to intervene.
Yeah. You know, the long-term answer isn't masturbate and now everything's going to be okay.
No.
It's the long-term answer is getting help for the marriage because – again, a sexless marriage, and people have different libidos and different issues, but there's lots of issues in this one. She wants to get the kind of counseling help. And again, and I say this all the time, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Get the right counsel here and engage with this. And, the answer to her dilemma of her marriage is she's coping with her stress in a way that is working for her. Now, what I would hope that she doesn't move into porn. You know, like you said, the Bible does not speak to masturbation. There's a very huge part of the church that would say masturbation is a sin because, you know, within the Roman Catholic system, that's what they would say. However, if she doesn't have a Catholic background or whatever, and they can't say that's from the Bible. It's just they're a lot of times referring to the issue of lust or porn.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't want to do is move a sexless marriage into now a relationship with porn.
Lust, porn, romance novels.
No, exactly. And so that's not the answer. The answer is actually to move back into a relationship that's fulfilling and try that first. But again, the focus would be, let's get your marriage, together.
Yeah. What a great question here Ruby sent in. And it's good to hear both sides, right? This is not just a male issue. And if you are struggling, we have Every Man's Bathroom Intensive May 17th in Washington, D.C. Emotional Freedom Online June 1st. Restore is July 12th through the 14th in Washington, D.C. And Intimacy and Marriage July 26th.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.